Who is Donald Trump? Well, supporters and detractors think they know, but Trump's transition from the Donald to possible president of the United States meant that for many, it was time to dig deeper.
Journalists have been doing that for the past year across the country, and the Washington Post decided to put its work into the book, Trump Revealed, An American Journey of Ambition, Ego, Money, and Power.
And joining us to talk about it all, Washington Post editor and co-author Mark Fisher. Mark, great to have you. Thanks so much.
Always good to be with you, Sean.
There are several books about Donald Trump, including several by the man himself. What's the goal of this book that you guys worked on?
You know, right now on the market, there are a whole bunch of pro-Trump rants and anti-Trump rants, and this is the only book that is a comprehensive biography. We took a look at Donald Trump and said, you know, this is the first major party candidate since Dwight Eisenhower, first in half a century, who's running for president without ever having served in public office before. And so he has not been vetted in the same way that a politician would simply by running for office time and again. So there's all kinds of stuff about his life, from his ancestry to his upbringing, to his education, to his business career, all the way up to today, where we're trying to understand, why does he act the way he does? How does he think? How does he make decisions? What are the principles and values that brought him to this point? And what? How can we predict how he might behave as president? That's all new territory. And there was a lot to look at. We put a lot of people on this in a very short amount of time, and we were able to come up with a really rich sense of who this man is and what he came from.
So, Mark, let's start at the beginning, his boyhood in Queens, New York. How did that shape him?
Well, he grew up wealthy as the son of a very successful real estate developer, Fred Trump. And Donald grew up as something of, by his own account, he was kind of rambunctious, kind of a ruffian. We talked to friends and neighbors and classmates who described him doing things like throwing rocks at the toddler who was in the playpen across the yard from Donald's house. Kids who said, oh, he pulled my pigtails. He got into fights. By Donald Trump's own account, he gave us more than 20 hours of interviews, he told us about having gotten into a physical altercation with one of his teachers that led his father to pull him out of school and send him off to military boarding school. So in his youth, we see a rambunctious kid, a kid trying to live down the fact that he's quite wealthy, and a kid who thinks of himself as someone who's driven to be something. His father always warned him against being a nothing and told him he needed to achieve really in a big way, in a very public way, in order to avoid being a nothing.
So he goes along through college and he starts out in his father's business. Part of his pitch to voters is that he says he has so much skill doing business. His success and failings, though, have been publicly debated even before he became a political figure. What did you find out here?
Well, we found out that indeed he picked up from his father a real skill at bringing together the political tools that you need to get things done in the real estate business. Getting big buildings built in Manhattan was a real challenge for Donald Trump, and he overcame that challenge in part by using political connections that he'd picked up from his father, those skills of bringing people together. And from his mother, he picked up this sense of performance, this idea of being a showman and using the media. He also turned to one of his early mentors, Roy Cohn, the New York lawyer, who taught him to always counterattack 10 times harder than you're attacked and always use the media. The idea that all publicity is good publicity led Donald Trump to have spent a lifetime trying to get himself on the front pages, get himself on the gossip pages, get himself surrounded by celebrities and models, that sort of thing, to boost not only his business, but his name, his brand, his image.
But not all of it was good, and there were accusations early on that he was trying to shut out African Americans from his father's real estate properties. Talk about that.
Right. Beginning in 1973, in one of the most important racial discrimination cases the federal government ever brought in New York, they went after Donald Trump and his father and their company. And what they did is they said that the Trumps were excluding blacks from the apartments that they had throughout Brooklyn and Queens. That when black families would come in to rent an apartment, they code would be attached to their name. That would either say capital C for colored or number 9, which was their code for a black family. And those people would be either rejected entirely or steered toward less desirable apartments. And the government caught them at doing this by sending out testers, groups of white and black applicants for apartments, and they would be treated very differently. Well, Donald Trump tried to fight back against this. With the help of Roy Cohn, he took on this strategy of pushing back, filing a countersuit against the government, which they lost. And 2 years later, they had to settle. They had to take out big ads in the New York papers promising not to discriminate anymore.
As you mentioned, it is the first time Donald Trump has run for office, but his involvement in politics and flirtations with running for office, running for president, really run over a number of years. What do you make of Donald Trump, the political animal?
Well, Donald Trump is really a very consistent guy. And what we've seen is that over the decades, he actually has talked a lot about some of the themes we've heard this year, whether it be immigration or trade, competition with China, the sense of putting America first. Those are themes he's been hitting since the 1980s. And he's actually been thinking about and toying with running for president for almost three decades now. So this is not a bolt out of the blue. He is someone who thinks of himself as a populist, as a provocateur. And sometimes when his statements are taken as deeply offensive or insulting, his retort is, well, I was just joking. I was just being sarcastic. And that's actually true in some cases. He thinks of himself as a performer, as a showman. He's doing what will provoke a reaction. He's very allergic to the idea of ideology of any kind, conservative or liberal. And he's really all about what will hit people emotionally, what will connect with their frustrations and make them want to support me. And of course, you can't talk about Donald Trump without talking about ego. He's got a huge ego, and so he feeds off crowds. He has a great knack for understanding what will get a rise out of a crowd and what will get crowds to cheer him.
Did you feel that ego while interviewing him, Mark?
You know, much less so. It's a great question, Hillary. And when you sit down with Donald Trump in his office, in his glorious setting overlooking Central Park and Fifth Avenue, he's a much quieter guy. He's more thoughtful. He's not the blustery guy yelling at rallies. It's a very different kind of presentation. That said, he did threaten us. And while he was generous and gracious with his time, he gave us many more hours of interviews than we had ever expected. But every once in a while, he would say, you know, if this is a bad book, I'm going to come after you. And he has indeed sued some of the people who've written about him in the past, including one author for $5 billion. Donald Trump lost those suits. And we said, well, why would you go about suing someone when, first of all, you said you never read the book? And second, it was clear you were going to lose from the start. And he said, I just wanted to bring that guy down. And he thinks of journalists as lowlifes, as he put it. On the other hand, he's very solicitous of journalists, is constantly trying to get people to write about him. He consumes news voraciously. He looks at everything. He's not much of a reader, but he looks at headlines, he looks at the pictures, and he knows what people are saying about him.
What else would you like us to know about Donald Trump as you outline in your book?
You know, he's a much more complex character than I think people give him credit for. There's whether you think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread or a menace to society, there's a tendency to think of him as this very simplistic guy who doesn't know a lot but has a good feel for what people are thinking in the country. He's really much more complex than that. He knows his business really well. He can talk about building materials from projects going back to the 1970s, but he's kind of oddly incurious about politics and policy. It's not something he's really spent much time studying in his life. He told me that he has not read any biographies of presidents. He's skeptical of people who put out reports and policy papers, and he likes to make decisions from his gut as a matter of instinct, and not really one to study very much. So he'd be a very different kind of president with a very different kind of approach to making decisions.
Out of all the time you spent with him, is there one moment you're going to remember forever?
And there was a very odd moment at the beginning of one of our interviews where he got out from behind his desk and took us across the hall to a conference room where there was a big table piled high with magazines, all of them with his cover, his picture on the cover. And he said, as he brought me into the room, he said, "Look what I just discovered," as if this room, completely full of magazines about himself, was a surprise to him, or that he thought he could persuade us that this was something that just appeared there rather than being planned. His sense of his himself, his ego, is so unbridled that he saw nothing odd about taking us into this room that was nothing more than a shrine to the way in which he's being covered in this campaign.
Wow.
It was kind of an odd moment.